Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, work like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I'll bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani. That was the theme to Modern Family. I'm sitting here with the ever domestic David Cohen.
Yes.
How
very
are you, David?
Good. I'm very domestic today.
Why do you feel domestic? Explain that to me.
Well, because I feel like I'm at home, because we have a special guest with us here in the studio today, someone very near and dear to my heart.
We certainly do, and I'm going to introduce her in a few short seconds. First, I'm going to keep you spellbound. Yes. Keep you spellbound to see that, you know, listen, Modern Family is a show that's been on the air since 2009.
I must have missed the first 50 seasons.
Exactly. But it reflects a difference in our pop culture and the way that families have been viewed. Of course, the family has changed in America, and television has reflected that. So I suggest this show includes a different look at the family in some ways, more realistic, I'd say, than one that I think we've seen in the past. But one thing remains the same, I think, is the support, guidance, and love of a family, yes or no?
Yes.
But I'm saying, you know, all these shows in the 50s till now, I think that's
common
consistent,
thing. Absolutely.
Even though characters have changed and the look has changed. So this week we take a look at the evolution of the family as represented by television since the 1950s to the present day. Of course, David loves that. We're going to go all the way back 60 years and take a look at history.
No, this is one time I'm okay with the history because it's cool and it's relevant. And yeah, go for it.
And it makes us subject to the fair use doctrine. So we could use all of these clips without having any issues, because it's an educational program.
That's where the lawyer in you comes out.
I have
love
to throw
it.
That out there at one point. When Disney comes at us, we're on the record. We have the privilege
when Disney comes at us. Yeah.
When they find out how popular the show is, and that they see that we're being successful on the tails of some of their antics, we want to make sure that we have our defense. Anyway, we have the privilege of Michelle DeFranco here, who is Michelle is David Cohen's wife for how many years? Michelle. More years than she cares to count.
We got married in 1995, so that would make it 23 years.
And you dated quite a bit before then, correct?
Yes, we dated for 6 years. Wow. Before we got married.
So it's great to have a woman's perspective, not only on this particular topic, but in general and anytime on Everything Old is New Again. So let's explore the social progression of the American family and women's changing representation in our popular cultures. It should be like an applause there, I think. Yeah, that sounds... Welcome, Michelle. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
All the way from New York City just to visit us in East Northport, where we're broadcasting from.
It's a schlep.
And by the way, your voice is now in all over the country, from here to California, Iowa, everywhere in between.
Wow.
Like that?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. So in order to do that, we've got to take a look at the family in the beginning, the first representations. And I have a show here that I don't know if anybody's really that familiar with, but I think it's a pretty good show. It's not too much on television anymore.
This is going back in history now.
All the way back. Now, this is back in 1953. We're going to listen to Danny Thomas. Remember Danny Thomas, Marlon Thomas's dad?
You were 18 then, right?
Yeah. Again. So let's see what happens there very briefly.
Now, what would you children like for breakfast? Some crackly pops or oaty bits?
Oh, Mother, you needn't trouble yourself on our account. We'll have whatever you're having.
I don't want to hear any more of this hyke-a-plutin' talk, either.
My most tumble apart.
There you go. We've got Danny Thomas with the spit take.
The spit take. You couldn't see it, obviously, but yes. That was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Douglas.
You are correct.
The origin, the first time we ever saw the spit take.
Yes, first time spit take was ever taken on television.
On television.
Scene. He did it in his nightclub act.
Sure.
It was where you're taking a drink and something happens, you spit out.
Yeah, I know what a spit take is.
Yeah,
I
don't, well...
Thanks,
we're not just talking. Did I look at Michelle when I said that?
Yeah, you did.
It was implied.
The condescension begins.
You were mansplaining.
There we go. Exactly. First of many times, I'm sure.
The woman's perspective is really nice to have. So, the idea... Well, the idea is of course, now you can see that in the family, the dynamic there. Dad's the center of attention, talking about food. The kids were playing it off like they were aristocratic. That was the theme of that particular show, and that's why he went a little bonkers. But the question is, have you seen, are you familiar with that show, either of you? Or
Yeah, I think when I was a kid it was on more in reruns, so I think I did. I have seen that show, or shows very much like it.
Yeah, it was a common theme
Leave
back
It to
then.
Beaver.
Right.
And and so you've got, you know, common themes there, that the mom is at home, mom's hanging out, not doing nothing. She's a homemaker, and she is busy as it can be. But there's many of these shows, the dad, it was more male-centric, would you say, or no?
I mean, I think so. I think it just reflected the way things were more back then, which is like my mom was home. You know.
Right. But mom wasn't wasn't less than half of the equation, or was she in real life at home? You know what I'm saying?
No, she was not.
But sometimes on the television shows, mom didn't have as many lines or as many social points of contention or whatever it might be, the subject line of the
exactly.
of the show.
Well, so. I remember that show, Wait Till Your Father Gets Home.
Yes.
And the whole idea was like, that's where the buck stopped when dad gets home.
Exactly.
You know?
He takes the belt out and renders justice.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at Leave It to Beaver. We all know that show in some way or another, I think. And that's, again, from the 50s to the early 60s. Just a little feel of that.
Well, whenever we cook inside, Mom always says it cooking. But whenever we cook outside, you always do it. How come?
Well, it's sort of traditional, I guess. They say a woman's place is in the home, and I suppose as long as she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
Girls are kind of lucky, don't they, Mom?
Why do you say that?
Well, they don't have to be smart. They don't have to get jobs or anything. All they got to do is get married.
Well, Beaver, today girls can be doctors and lawyers, too, you know. They're just as ambitious as boys are.
There we go. So you prepare to be offended by that, but then it turns around a little bit, right?
It's funny. I don't remember that as a kid, right? I don't remember June ever saying something like that. It's interesting.
June was awesome. She put herself together. She did what she needed to do.
Barbara Billingsley. And she actually was able, this is the 50s, late 50s, the kids are asking about, Dad, why are you cooking? Well, that's a male, outside in the barbecue. That's what a man, does. And it got laughs, and that was so...
They were already poking fun at it.
Right.
Which
was pretty good.
The role reversal. Right.
Yeah.
Which I think that's why that show kind of paved the way a little bit. We're going to see shows that pave the way to some equality on the screen, I think,
but
at least we're getting there.
I love the utilitarian way that he looked at it. I suppose if a woman's supposed to be at home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
Right.
If we're putting her in the house somewhere, the kitchen's a good spot for her.
Right.
It was very,
I could think of another room, but yes, that's enough. I'm just kidding. But that, that is, for television, that is the place for a woman to be. Yes. But you can even learn some lessons here and there from the Munsters. Is that possible? I don't know. Let's take
absolutely.
A look.
Absolutely.
There he is, my son-in-law, the 150-year-old teenage punk.
I wish you wouldn't do this.
I just can't fight a chick. I got to get out there and drag it with the gases. Otherwise, doll, I might blow by cool.
There you go. That's Herman Munster playing it off as a mod, if you will, back in the late... Well, it's early 60s, right? But he's
right.
playing it off of the old wild ones with Marlon Brando,
right? Right,
right. So he's playing it off, but there's, Lily is in the picture, but male-centered, don't you think, that show?
Definitely.
He was definitely the protagonist of the Munsters.
And Grandpa was number two. Right?
Grandpa was number two, definitely.
Yeah, but Lily did, she didn't give way. She was there, but I can't tell you one story that centered around just Lily. I remember the one time that Herman was out of work, and then Lily got a job as a welder, and there was flirting.
Common sitcom trope, right?
Because they wore the mask, couldn't tell. But so right. Lily was in this. That, to me, was the most that I remember a story surrounding her.
Were there any around Marilyn? Being that she was sort of like the
outlier. I think
outlier.
About her, yeah. There was Might one where she had a serious date, and they brought him home and they tried to get it.
But certainly not the focus of the show.
Definitely not. So let's get one quick one in here before we go. I want to remember something that when Mom finally got respect in the early 60s, my mother, the car.
Now, son, take it easy. You'll probably go through the roof when you hear this, but this is your mother talking. David, I've come back. What does it take to convince you it's me? Mom!
You sound like my mother.
There you go. or rather unsuccessful show, Jerry Van Dyke.
It was unsuccessful, yeah, but you know, when you and I were growing up, I think the three of us, you always knew of that show. It was never on TV, but you always knew of this show called My Mother the Car, right?
Wasn't it a bizarre, the mom's soul became a car.
The
car.
The mother is a car?
Yes. Yes.
Right. I always said that's why I said tongue in
cheek. So it's not a metaphor. She was literally the car.
Yes, and solved his problems. He would drive around and she would talk through the radio and maybe the car would break down and they would want to junk it, and so he'd have to go save it and all this. Save her, really. Mom finally got respect, you see, in the early 60s. We were breaking ground.
Sure. In what way is that breaking ground that the mother was a car? Wait, no. I mean, I'm just trying to understand. I'm ready to believe that.
It's being facetious. I was just kind of joking with you.
Well, I mean, the car is the most important, like one of the most important things that in a family. It brings you where you need to go, as you said.
Exactly.
You know?
And so are commercials. We'll be right back. Right after this, everything old is new again.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
How will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big, girl, this time you're all alone, but it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. I could listen to that song for the next 3 hours, but I don't
Sonny
know.
Sonny Curtis wrote it in like a half an hour.
How about that?
Is that crazy?
That's insane. Sort of like how we prepare for the show. In 15, 10 minutes, we've got it done.
And we also produce masterpieces.
Exactly.
Like
speaking about masterpieces, Michelle DeFranco is here with us.
You almost said Michelle Cohen.
I did, because I want to say you are related to young David Cohen by being, of course, his partner in crime.
Yes.
And being that you're here, I'm very happy to be able to progress our discussion of pop culture with a woman's point of view. And in this particular case, we're now progressing a little bit into the 70s there. You know, it's a great tune, but did you hear, are you familiar with the words
to what
we just heard?
I, first of all, loved Mary Tyler Moore. I love that song. It takes me back to like my younger days watching it. And yeah, I think Mary Tyler Moore was a great role model.
And if you listen to the words, and there was another opening as well, they did it next season, whatever, and it basically is, here's a woman out on her own, what kind of surprise, good luck to you, wish you all the best, but don't know how it's going to work out.
Right. You might just make it after all.
Oh, and then it turned into, you're going to make
right,
it after
in
all.
Right, in later years.
Right.
That's a great pickup. But, you know, in looking back at our society, would that song be the subject of a sitcom today?
No, I don't think so. I think, like, we get it. You made it. You did it. You
we know, get it, so. By the way, you can do it.
Yeah. Oh, right. Shocker.
Know, like, it, yeah. It's, so, but you're saying at the time,
people were offended that this show was showing this, like, single woman who just really didn't have any interest in getting married.
Right.
And they couldn't get over the fact that she was no longer with Dick Van Dyke, because they still saw Mary Tyler Moore as, you know,
Laura Petrie,
right?
Petrie.
Right, right,
right. So the networks had a real trouble figuring out how to configure that in the viewers' minds, that this is a separate character now.
Now, I think in some ways their lack of faith in Mary Tyler Moore, a woman to carry the show on her own, apparently, led to a great show in that, and she was very smart to allow this, if you will, and help develop this, all the woman characters and, of course, the male characters, but the woman was strong, around her to play off of.
Right.
So she wasn't like the only, you know, like if you're the test person and you're the only one there, as opposed to, well, I've got a group of people with me to help me.
They made sure
forward.
She was supported, right.
Right. Yeah. So in an odd way, whether it was on purpose or not, because of society's doubt, I think, in her ability to carry this alone, they surrounded her with a great cast and created, I think, a classic show.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rhoda was, and look at all the spinoffs. Rhoda was a spinoff. Phyllis was a spinoff.
Yep. Lou Grant, believe it or not, became a spinoff.
Right?
And Lou Grant became a spinoff.
Right. But these great women characters.
Suanne Niven. I mean, what a great character.
Oh, my God.
And here's a little piece of some of the best of.
The characters he created will be remembered by children and adults alike. Mr. Fee-Fi-Fo. And my particular favorite, Aunt Yoo-Hoo. Go ahead, laugh out loud. Don't you see, nothing would have made Chuckles happier. He lived to make people laugh. He hated to see people cry. So go ahead, my dear. Laugh for Chuckles.
And if you're a fan of that show, that's classic. If you haven't heard that before or seen that before, maybe you want to pull up Mary Tyler Moore's, that episode is called, I think, The Funeral, Chuckles' Funeral, something like that.
A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer in your pants.
So that's memorable, and that's when she was way into the seasons, you know, as a, this has got to be 75, I would say, that episode. Was it memorable to you in any way?
Oh, or? My God, definitely. I mean, all of her none of her stories had to do with cooking for men, pleasing men, or part of a family. You never saw her, you know, you barely ever saw her. She was usually just in the workplace.
Right.
And the stories revolved around her work friends. And then, so that was a different kind of family,
right.
The work family.
So we're widening horizons a little bit here. And then we've got a little something different with Courtship of Eddie's Fathers. And I think you'll see this clip highlights the importance, and this is the early 70s, late 60s, of a mom. And if you remember that show, it was a movie originally.
Right.
By the way, Ron Howard was the child in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his mom and was living with dad, who is trying to struggle through this. And they've got Mrs. Livingston as
the housekeeper
right. helper. And so this is Eddie talking to Mrs. Livingston.
I will be sleeping on the couch inside. And if there's anything you want, Eddie, if there's anything you need.
I need a mother.
So,
That's so sad.
What was the answer? I'd love to hear how she handled that.
It actually turned out to be that they were having some kind of a function where moms were invited to school, and Eddie didn't have one, so that's where it came out. But that's opened the door there, that discussion. Then Mrs. Livingston, believe it or not, I don't know, didn't take it personally. She was strictly, I guess, an employee in some ways. I would have been upset about that if I was her, but she wasn't his mom, of course. And then there was a discussion later on with, you know, the Mrs. Livingston and Bill Bixby, who was the Hulk later
right.
on, and talking about, you know, how difficult it is, and he can't be mom in these functions. He'll do the best he can to replace that.
That was a great show.
And why do you think, like, what did it bring out to you? I mean, if you can remember.
I mean, I think it brought out that the dad can be nurturing as well. That's a stereotype, that only mom can be nurturing, that the dad had that mom-ness, that stereotypical, a man can also be a mom.
And I think that's such an incredibly important point that is overlooked, that when you look at these shows and the development of pop culture reflecting real life, not every man is the guy sitting by the couch eating chips on Sunday watching football, doesn't know how to change a diaper, can't cook an egg, you know? And it's offensive, just as offensive as some of these stereotypes that were in the 60s and 50s for women.
I totally agree.
It's the reverse. Yeah. Like, I'm not allowed to cook.
Right.
Huh?
Not only that, but you can't, right?
Can't.
You don't have the ability
to
do it.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You're a buffoon.
I am just going to go to work and come home and flop down and ask for dinner.
No, I think that's very, very unfair. And I mean, I know from personal experience that men change diapers and cook and do what they need to do and are nurturing and loving. Right. I mean, you know.
There you go. So in real life, but I'm saying back in the 70s, it may have been some push back maybe, but in retrospect, to look at all of this, it actually paved the way for men to also gain some respect in that area.
Definitely.
You know, so,
and a great Harry Nilsson song, one of my favorite theme songs from that show.
Sing a little piece of it. Sing a little bit.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
Okay, let's listen to Edith Bunker.
Thanks for cutting
me
off.
Don't I always bring you beer when you want it?
Geez, that don't prove nothing.
No, I always have dinner hot for you when you come home.
That don't prove nothing either.
Archie, I love you. That's why I do them things for you.
Oh, Edith. You know something? I've been blowing my own horn for a lot of years. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't nothing without you.
Oh.
There you go. And I want to follow that up real quick because we're running low on time, so I want to talk about this. So let's get to the last clip, and then we'll explore that.
You had no right to leave me that way. Without giving me just one more chance to say I loved you.
That's now, so unfair,
dog. Don't make me cry.
So
we're supposed to be having fun.
I'm like tearing up here.
That's the whole point. To me, we have a few minutes. I want to throw something out there. To me, that's a comedy. Is supposed to be a comedy. It's All in the Family, right? It had a groundbreaking in bringing a political discussion.
Absolutely.
For sure, and doing it in a way that's even-handed and both you like don't like all the characters that are introducing these different ideas, and at least the ideas are thrown out there without the characters making conclusions, but the audience is not making conclusions based upon what the characters are saying. They're kind of able to, if that makes sense, make your own decision as to what's presented. Right.
Yeah, sure.
Make sense?
They looked. They threw out all different points of view.
And... Yeah, it wasn't just let me ramrod this idea down your throat, which sometimes we see now on both sides on TV shows. I want to, you know, it's a fair discussion on both sides with humor,
and it was funny,
and with stereotypes, and with things that could be offensive.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's the heart of the show. Edith
their
Bunker.
Their love.
And their love.
And that
together.
Was always evident. No matter how much, you know, you think Archie mistreated Edith and how much Edith, you know, took it, there was all, you never doubted the love between them, right?
Right. To me, she's a bridge character between the old stereotype and the new modern woman. I don't know what to say in that regard, but she brought, as he said, she makes does the laundry, makes the beds, does the domestic chores, brings him his dinner and his beer. But meanwhile, look what he's... This is a hard... We know...
Archie to say that, yeah.
He's a steadfast character. He's probably top 10 all-time known characters for his stereotype and for his rough and gruff attitude. But then behind it all, you see what we just spoke about. Right. And I think that's so incredibly important to see that he wasn't... Like sometimes today in entertainment, we see these one- or two-dimensional characters. They could have written this character with always just being the punchline, always being the nasty guy, and never getting beyond that.
Yeah, the writing was really... I feel like that show couldn't be on like a major network now. I feel like it would be on Netflix or Amazon or something like that. Like, it was very bold.
And isn't it a shame in some ways? I think Blackish gets there a little bit. If you've seen that, we'll talk about that with the politics and with you know, a fun discussion of these things. Other than that, I can't think of another show in the last 20 years that even's gotten close to
doing
that.
And Married with Children was sort of like an Archie Bunker character, but like you were describing, just very one-dimensional. Right?
Yeah, I don't think he had said the word love ever.
No.
Unless it was about shoes, you know?
Right, exactly.
So that's a totally different world. And here... with Edith Bunker, you know, she was not a quote feminist in that she wasn't, you know, doing those certain things that were expected or of a woman back in the day. Does that make sense? But she was
the heart, and I think the brain too of
absolutely,
the family.
Absolutely, we'll be back right after this and everything old. See
you
again.
You had no right to leave.
No, don't play
that. Do that again. Oh no! Let's go out with the Brady Bunch instead.
Till the one day when the lady met Miss Yellow.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
It's just that I feel like I'm losing my children to America. They're just going to grow up and become boring old white people.
Hello, ma'am. Do you love Christmas?
Actually, I'm Jewish.
Well, then, you must appreciate a good value.
Oh, jeez.
What's the most irritating thing my parents say to me?
Don't talk black to me. How do you even talk black? Like N-words with Izzle?
It's talk back, you idiot.
That's my sister talking to me when I was growing up. Back to Everything Old is New Again. We're exploring the family and mom and so forth with a young David Cohen, the domesticated David Cohen.
Yes, very domesticated.
And we're here with his wife, Michelle. And Michelle, we're having a great time with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have a woman's perspective on Everything Old is New Again. We know that 40% of our audience are women, as per some stats that are out there. So you speak for a large segment of the population.
Oh, my gosh. That's a big responsibility.
It is, and you're holding up to it very well. That clip, of course, was from Modern Family, and that's what we're getting to now, where we've progressed from the 50s, 60s, and I jumped through lots of television to now, because now we can see the stark difference. I think we've seen some of the characters that we've talked about that have kind of laid the groundwork to a new world, if you will, now. And is it an old world? There, we were just talking about, are there stereotypes and things used, like All in the Family, and we mentioned mentioned Blackish. I forgot Modern Family. They do it all the time, no? In clips, in little, they don't have a big discussion
what
about
it. What do you mean,
it.
Calling attention to stereotypes?
Yes, like they did with the Jewish joke there. Right. And so they do it in such a way that, you know, it's funny because there's a counterpoint of view and, you know, dad going, oh boy, you know, like to show that we're not, you know, for the uninitiated, we're not approving of this, but we are pointing these things out.
Right.
And I think that there's some laughs there just from those three clips we heard. That show carries a lot of laughs. Have you been a fan of Modern Family at all?
Oh, definitely. We watched Modern Family. I mean, I like the fact that they have the family unit of Mitch and Cam, too.
Right.
They're the gay couple. They adopt a child.
Which might be the funniest setup. I don't know.
Both the actors.
Yeah, because it goes beyond the fact that they're a gay couple. I mean, the fights that they have, the disagreements any married couple has, you know, so you can relate to them very easily.
Right. They're not hitting you over the head with whatever the message is they're giving you. They're laying it out, having fun with it, and just letting the audience assimilate to all these different types of families there are in America. And you like all of them, all hysterical for their own purpose, but they all have a heart of love to every single one of those relationships.
Absolutely.
So it's over the top. It's not like they're not hitting you over the head with it. You know?
Right.
Let's take a look at Blackish, talking a little politics, I think.
The point is, everyone should be a feminist.
Rainbow, ain't nobody got time for that. I couldn't afford to burn my bra. I only had the one.
What I think Mom is trying to say is that black feminists and white feminists had a little bit of a different path.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as simple for black feminists because they had to choose between civil rights and feminism.
And I chose civil rights. Well, I didn't march or anything, but ain't nobody got time for that.
That shows a little more of the political side, a little more of a little edgy, if you want to call it that, discussion.
I love that.
But,
that's
funny. You know, there's a lot more to that. It's a lot more to that discussion. It's very funny. Talk about taking the last name of the husband and why not and all of this. But they do approach it well. Sometimes the show gets a little, but, you know, I think that they're really trying to experiment also and open our minds again to these. It's okay to talk about all this stuff if you have a fun attitude about it.
Which I think is like more like All in the Family than maybe even Modern Family, because they do that.
Exactly.
And also not to give short shrift to it, but that was also a whole genre, right? The African-American families from the Jeffersons and Good Times and, you know, even like a Sanford and Son type of family situation going forward. It's always been, not always, but since the 70s, even with the Cosby Show, you know, in some weird way, has always been sort of portrayed through TV. I say weird way because that was kind of a difficult family to...
Right.
I guess we're not talking about Bill Cosby.
I don't want to talk about the Cosby Show.
No, Bill Cosby! Well, that was when he was active. He was number one in America in the 80s in that show.
Yes.
So,
but anyway, just wanted to talk about the precursors to Blackish and that whole...
Right, okay. Right, and that just shows you that some people that are on screen are completely different than off screen, and can we separate that? That's another show. You know, people give you their politics, they give you whatever, or they do something bad. Do you want to see them or not? We'll get there.
Yeah, depends on how bad.
Exactly.
Right,
and that's pretty bad.
let's
turn to good. I don't know good. American Housewife. What do you think of this guy, this gal?
Hunky Mama Cat does every last thing for her kittens. She feeds them. She plays with them. She licks them clean. Does she complain? No, but she has every right to complain. Yeah, I know it was her choice, but Hunky Mama Cat still wonders what the hell happened to her life. You know, before she decided to spew kittens onto the planet, she had a great job.
She's reading, I should have set that up better. She's reading to kids in school a book.
Oh,
about,
that's good.
She goes off because she's like, what happened? You
know? I like that.
So now you relate to that, obviously. Why?
Well.
Or at least you laughed.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's poking fun at the fact that, you know, once we have children, I mean, even though we're progress and we all go to, many women go to work, we still... The expectation is that we're still the ones taking primary caretakers or whatever of our babies, of our children. And it just makes me laugh.
Well, many women do have to give up a career for their family.
Or they have to hire someone to take care of
them. Right, but in this particular case, she's representing, she gave up all this, and that's not easy. And should be admired and respected when you stay home, as opposed to, it's on another show, too. There's some people out there, you know, feel that women can do it all and should do it all, and we'll talk about this in the next show, and you should do it with a smile, and you're perfect, and you're going to have every appointment done, every meal done, every bed made, I don't know, silly things, you're going to have, you know, work done perfectly and make X amount of dollars, you're going to raise your kids and never miss
And always in high heels.
Always in high heels, and looking great, and very happy about it's ridiculous to me. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right, and I think some of these shows are good these days, because they show the actual way real people are that don't have the money to pay for nannies and are just have real problems of taking care of their family financially.
Absolutely. And this impression that the guy, again, I'm over-exaggerating, but the guy comes home from work, sits on the couch, and the woman has got to work, but also shop, but also, you know, make the food, but also raise the kids, also give the advice. I mean, it's an over-exaggeration, but that's kind of silly, isn't
but
it?
But I think these shows like The Middle and American Housewife are doing a pretty good job.
The only thing about American Housewife is she's so miserable all the time. I mean, you look at, she has a smile, and when she smiles, she's one of these people that still have the mouth is still downturned when she's smiling. It turns me off, I'm sorry to say.
Maybe the writing isn't as good as, like, in the Goldbergs.
She's one-dimensional, I'm sorry. She's one-dimensional, miserable, and showing that and it's good that, you know, I'm not the one that's perfect and all that. I get it, but now what? You know, like, okay,
it's a one joke.
It is.
Thing? Is that what you're in?
Yes, I think so. To me. Anyway, let's listen.
Look,
to
Mary, and I got to run. Will you please try and have dinner early tonight? I got a lodge meeting.
Right. Yeah, I have basketball practice after school, a date tonight.
Yeah, and I got a Girl Scout meeting tonight.
Oh, well, all right. You all just go on about your activities and your full-rounded lives.
Come on, Mary, and you got plenty of activities.
Well, doing housework is not an activity. Now, Howard, I love being a housewife, but there has just got to be more in a woman's life than cooking and cleaning and...
And there you go. That's Marion from Happy Days. A different kind of show where 20 years later, society's looking back from the 70s and early 80s to the 50s. And interpreting what did or did not happen back then. But as you can hear from that clip, it's a little different take where, again, we're looking at what we were just talking about back in the day. Mom staying home doing all this stuff, but nothing else, huh? And even, you know, I shouldn't say even, but in the 70s, they were expecting and thinking and lived through the 50s where women were saying these things. Look, there's more to life than just that, right?
Definitely. And I liked Happy Days, though. Marion, like, did have her own, like, story. I felt like it was about the kids. It was really about Ron Howard's character and all of them, but
ultimately Fonzie.
She was a big character on that show.
She was.
Yes, and you could see there in that discussion alone, there was a later on, she in that episode danced with Fonzie at a dance, and that's what she devoted her time to. I'm just saying, there's other things to do. There's nothing wrong, and I think it's very admirable to be someone that's raising a family and not working. It doesn't mean, though, that's all you do, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You're not just making the beds and doing the domestic stuff, and you have no interest yourself. You could be on a radio show. You could do whatever you want besides
that. You should feel good about yourself, honey. You're on this radio show now, and, you know, you're making something of yourself.
Thanks, honey.
Condescending son of a gun.
Thank you.
20 years of that? Okay, now we've got... go ahead.
26 years?
20 plus 20.
Whatever.
How did you do it, Michelle? That's another show. We'll get to that.
I am Mrs. C. I am a Mrs. C, if you would call me Michelle Cohen.
That's right.
Mrs.
There you go.
That's true.
Yeah. Speaking of looking back, there are shows now that we're going to take a look at in the next section that 20, 30 years after a certain era, look back at that era. They're made in a certain era, but represent a different era. Doesn't mean they're right or wrong about doing that in terms of their interpretation. Let's see if that is true or not in the Goldbergs. First, before we get there, I want to talk about and show our omnipresent Star Trek reference.
Hang on to your hat. Turns out Jackie likes Star Trek more than Star Wars. What do I do?
About what?
It's a fact. Force freaks and Trekkies never get along. We're sworn enemies.
Okay, here's what you do. Nothing, because it's all dumb.
And on that note, we'll be back right after this, and everything Old is doing is, even if it's dumb, it's fun. I'm twisted up
inside. This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Catch! Back in the 80s, before Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Ooh. Happy birthday! What do you want for breakfast?
Privacy! Please,
don't forget to wash your bottom.
My family had only one way to communicate. At the top of our lungs.
I'm home!
wasn't just a member of the family.
You, Erica, Barry, what's your name?
I was the kid who captured it all on the magic of videotape.
There we go. We are here at the magic of radio on Everything Old is New Again, talking all things family, the development of family, and in our pop culture, mostly television, all television at this point. We're here with David Cohen. And David, who else are we here with?
Michelle DeFranco.
Okay. Michelle, it's a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here,
and
Douglas.
Michelle, of course, is David's better... is that what they say anymore? The better half? They still say that?
I think that...
in this case, for sure.
Right. <it's, laughs> that's a good idea. That's the Goldbergs. I've been talking about the Goldbergs for a long time. They've been ignoring us left and right. So this may be the last time we talk about the Goldbergs, because I've written and tried to get them to come on the show, any and all.
Really?
By the way, what's his name? Grandfather? What's the actor? I forget his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, famous guy. Yeah.
Anyway, his people are very extraordinarily nice to us in the way they say no. So I would.
Oh, I love the Goldbergs.
Very professional and so forth. But anyway, long story short is someday we'll get them on.
Great.
And we'll talk about this because I think it's a great show that represents fun. It's just a throwback to the days when we can relate a little bit more.
We were growing up.
Right? But also I like every ending of every show has a little bit of heart. And I'm going to call it a lesson, but they're not over the head with it. But it's a little bit of a nice little narration at the end, no?
Definitely. And like you said, it gets back to just the love between the family.
Right.
It always gets back to that, no matter how over the top, quote unquote, they go with like the being cruel to each other or however crazy Beverly gets.
Right.
You know, it's always out of love.
Right. And now we're looking at a woman that is, of course, a contemporary that is representing someone from 80, 90 to 30 years ago. Is she representing, and it's a comedy, so it has to be over the top, right? But is she representing in some ways, and are they representing in some ways, the family back in the 80s? Or is that our impression from 2018 of what it was like to be in the 80s without all the extra things that you usually forget? You usually look back with a smile,
like
right?
Rose-colored glasses.
Right. So, I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, go ahead, David.
George Segal.
George Segal
exactly. Is the grandfather.
Yes. I think, I don't know, of course I'm going to be a little nitpicky. I like the show. I actually like the show. I think what they do, though, is there's too many current phrases in the current vernacular that they're putting, that they're saying in the 80s that takes me out of that 80s fantasy world.
That's what I think is a good point.
I agree. I think it more reminds me of how I felt, I feel as a mother, just like overprotective and I'll do anything for my child, you know, more than... I remember that from the 80s. That's not where it puts me.
But it does put, depends on the show, because there are shows that do like, they do like The Karate Kid. I remember that movie came out. And they wove that in there so beautifully the way they interpreted
that
movie.
Definitely.
So it's just, nothing's perfect, and I agree with you.
Yeah,
they do throw in.
It's nitpicking.
It's not, because I've seen they do something like, I think it was like, really? Or like there's certain phrases that we say now that was not invented in
that's
the 80s,
true.
But they're using on the show. And you're like, guys, you know, you want to be authentic, you want to be fun, there's no problem. But, and I know you're over the top, it's an exaggeration, but you can't use topics or language from now.
They might do that deliberately just to stay connected to people. And I don't know why they do that, but I love the clip at the end where he shows the home movies
right.
of actually
that
the
is
80s.
Cool. Yeah.
I love that.
Right, let's listen to the smother.
This is my mom, Beverly Goldberg, a shoulder-padded, crunchy-haired mother warrior whose top priority was always her kids. Before helicopter moms and attachment parenting, she was the original smother.
She's the original smother. You just spoke about that. And,
right.
And so now, does that make you, what kind of a representation is, you know, for a woman presenting that now, it's not offensive, is it, to be,
I'm not offended by it. I'm obsessed with Beverly Goldberg.
On the other hand, we do have the helicopter parent syndrome,
yes.
which maybe developed from that.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be that funny in real life, but somehow between the acting and the writing, it's hilarious and makes us laugh at ourselves.
Exactly. There was another show that did the same thing, The Wonder Years, which I loved as well, and Norma Arnold was the mom there. Let's listen to a little piece of that.
Didn't anybody notice the new bowl? I made it. Well, I signed up for the ceramics course at the community college.
I could tell my mother was waiting for something, although she wasn't going to come right out and ask for it. She wanted my father to say he liked the bowl.
So what do you think, honey?
A direct question. This was a bold and unexpected move.
It smells great.
Dad was not as, what would you say, as fun as some other dads, although he had some heart. The question is, with that clip, you could hear that Mom was doing something. Mom was creating a bowl. She got out of the house and took up a hobby, and Dad did not support it so much. Did you find that in your experience at all, or no, in terms of what, in the 80s, was there support for your mom or any women? Do you remember doing their own thing outside the house? It was time to break out and do your thing.
Yeah, my mom was an RN, and then when she had children, she stopped doing that. But then she worked at a methadone clinic as a volunteer in the 70s. I remember that.
But was there support for
that?
My
mom was a meth addict. Maybe they met.
Was there support for that, at the house?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad was pretty, pretty traditional.
And remember, what we're talking about the 70s. Here we're going back into the 60s, and maybe there was some issues back then, maybe not, with women getting out and doing their own thing. That was a struggle at the time. If you take a look at the dad there, he wasn't so wonderful a guy, apparently. But he redeems himself into this clip. Let me play this and see what you think of Dad after this, dealing with Kevin and his issues.
How are things going? With winning, I mean.
Things are pretty much over with us,
I guess it must hurt a lot, doesn't it?
I guess so.
I wish I could say it gets easier.
Come on inside.
But I knew I wasn't going to make it inside.
You just hang in there now.
All right, so there he is, there, hugging at the end there because of the difficult situation. Kevin's going through his first breakup. And do you remember your first breakup, Michelle?
Oh, definitely. I remember my first breakup, but I didn't share it with my parents.
Interesting. And so there was a touching scene where Dad was on board with his son. Totally different scene. Were you able to, Dad related to his son and gave him a hug during a time that I didn't have that experience either?
No, not at all.
So they were trying, though.
Well, you needed to have a girlfriend to break up
exactly.
To have that experience.
I was 47 when that happened for the first time. So, there was a different vibe. Anyway, let's talk.
You can still talk to your mom about it or your dad.
I never got the hug there for, No, I'm kidding. Now, again, there are some things that always remain the same in all of these shows, and I think we can take a look at that summarized here pretty well with the Goldbergs.
I screwed up, so I went back to Gigi's.
You went back to the Mexican restaurant for me?
Look, I'm a stubborn bastard, but I realize the most important thing for me to be stubborn about is making you happy.
No one's perfect when it comes to family. Sometimes we lie. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves that we forget to look out for each other. But that's family for you. In the end, God only knows where we'd be without each other.
There you go. Is that a David Cohen, Beach Boys song?
It is, Doug. Yes, correct.
I wanted to keep you awake a little bit here. Seems like we're losing.
I don't like what bothers me a little bit is when, I'll just be honest with you, I like the Goldbergs, but when shows are just like too on the nose, like, okay, I get it. Yes, you're playing God Only Knows Where I'd Be Without You. It's like saying things that can be represented in a very implicit way that might hit home a little more. So I don't feel like, sometimes I feel like they're treating their audience like they're idiots, right?
All right, now
yes, this is a poignant scene,
yes,
right here.
But I'll take a different point of view. My kids watch that show, 8 and 5, and so there is, an element that they're trying to appeal to a larger group, and I'm not trying to say that your group is not valid.
Point taken.
But, it's a family show that they want. Their dynamic is probably, or what do you call that, demographic, is probably 10 to 20, 10 in one. There is a good dynamic there. They have a good amount of people that they want to appeal to that don't get the messages all the time. My kids love it.
Stupid people? Kids.
My kids love it. They're not always on board with what it is. It's the first time sometimes they're hearing about how important family is besides mom and dad saying it. So it's a nice representation.
That's
isn't
true.
It nice to see pop culture kind of give you a message to your kids because they listen to pop culture?
It is that kind of show. You're right.
I mean, it's not a bad thing to have out there for kids to watch. And if you want to go someplace edgier, you go to the Netflix shows that you like more.
Right, exactly. So there. And finally, let's listen to a little piece.
Stand corrected.
No, I wasn't.
But there's also commonality as Jim as well. Remember gym class?
38 weeks ago, you arrived here a ragtag bunch of softies. Now you're leaving a hard-boiled cadre of young athletes. That's something to be proud of. This summer, think back on the guy who made it all possible. Ed Cutlip. A human being, a man, an educator.
No hustle, no muscle!
Gym class in the 80s. The shorts were super short, the exercises dumb, and the games were barbaric. After years of thinking I had suffered through every indignity gym class had to offer, turns out the worst was yet to come.
Presidential fitness test.
Some things never change. Gym class is always the same, one era to the next, I think. And they represent that pretty good
and
in the show.
And they're spinning off the gym teacher now is going to have his own show.
They've tried that once. It was absolutely horrible. It was on 2 weeks ago. It was horrible. We'll talk about that next week on Everything Old is New Again. Thank you, Michelle. David, the discussion of the American family and how it's represented in our pop culture is taking one step forward because Everything Old is New Again has explored it and explored it well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on Everything
Bye.
Old is New Again. I'm twisted up inside.